If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. So, if you're ready to come out of your closet this evening, let's take a deep breath. And call forward your intention for what you'd like to have activated and revealed to you this evening. Ask for whatever is for your highest and best good to be brought forward. Ask that whatever could be cleared through grace at this time, that be dissolved back into the nothingness from which it came. Ask for each one of your chakras to be cleared according to your highest good and highest rate. Ask for the quickening of that which would be your next revelation, your next empowerment, and your next step in your spiritual progression. And ask that all of it be governed and guided by your higher self, the divine Christ, and that which is your spiritual lineage and soul's contract for this lifetime. And it is my intention in this seminar to convey the importance of intention. And our topic for this seminar is Intention Determines Outcome. So, it's a very, very important topic because your intention creates your outcome. Whatever your prevailing, underlying intent, which is a little more than motivation. Motivation is kind of has to do with the ego and the personal agenda. The intention I'm speaking of is of the energy of the divine will that actually operates from your monad or spirit down through the soul and enters that higher portion of the mind that we call the abstract or intuitional higher mind. Some people call it the Buddhi or the Christ mind. Whatever you call it, it's that, as differentiated from the personality's preferences in the personal life. That's not what we're discussing this evening. Tonight we're discussing intention, which is literally the power of God within your mind and your soul and your spirit. It's the God force of mind. Could also be called sankalpa, which is the divine resolve, the divine will. And as we have spoken of recently, it's also ikha shakti. It is the power of will, the divine will, the God power that we only come in contact with when there's been sufficient purification of the lower nature. And as I've told you many times, these seminars are for advanced souls. Those of you who are beginners can get some glimmering and some assistance, but there probably will be a great deal that's going to not be really readily understood for the simple reason that we are speaking to people who have made a commitment as a disciple of the higher way to come to earth on earth assignment to fulfill a specific service. That work is always teamwork. That work is always a cooperative endeavor involving many elements coming together for a particular intention that they have agreed to fulfill, usually on levels before birth. But it's also a driving force that will push you into that line of destiny when that is so for you. So, again, let's take a deep breath and come into alignment with your own spirit kernel, that monad or I am presence. That is who you truly are. That is the driving power of your incarnation. That is the God within you, immanent, and is anchored by a stream of fiery energy into the heart itself. And that life force flows to the blood. That blood is encoded with light and sound frequencies that delineate for you your precise attainment that you have achieved through myriads of immersions in time, space, historical periods, and incarnational roles. Everything that you have attained as a spiritual being is encoded in every drop of your blood. Your consciousness, which is your soul, is anchored in a threefold anchoring in the pineal, pituitary, and hypothalamus, which for you delineate the Atma, Buddhi, and Manas, which is a triangle of light, energy, and filaments, in the center of your skull. That is where you, as a divine being, take your seat, so to speak. Then you have a stream of energy that comes down as the creative intelligence and the very voice of the intention, so to speak, that anchors in the throat chakra, that releases the creative power of God through your spoken word and through your overall expression. Now you have that energy of the threefold presence that you are as a divine being of spirit, soul, and mind. You have it suffusing your entire nervous system with a subtle etheric gas that interfaces with the atoms and electrons at your different levels of manifestation and causes a sense of sentiency that expresses through your five senses. And that is how you get into your body and express and manifest the divine intention through your life. So this week, along with many of you, I've been enjoying the 2012 London Olympic Games. And the skill of the athletics, aside from being extraordinary, was noteworthy in other respects as well. For example, the cooperative teamwork that was being demonstrated. And to see, you know, for me, it's a thrill to see people coming together with one intention, to produce excellence, to give all they had to whatever it was they were doing. Not just for themselves, but for the benefit of the entire team and also for their fellow countrymen. And this is exactly how disciples and advanced initiates are trained and being trained to coordinate their efforts in serving to fulfill some aspect of the divine plan on earth. I notice the interactions amongst the athletes also. Their good sportsmanship, and their overall goodwill towards one another, as well as instances where genuine selflessness and detachment from results was exhibited. Quite a few of them said when they were asked, I'm just here to have a good time. I'm here to do my best, give my best, give it my best shot, and to enjoy myself. So there was a certain detachment that is not a characteristic of the personal ego, which always has to win no matter who is stepped on in the process. I noticed a lot of soul energy coming through the Olympics this year. In one instance, which I thought was remarkable, an athlete even placed the medal she had just won around the neck of her coach, giving him the credit, because she said, without his coaching expertise, she would not have even been able to participate in the Olympics. And, he just broke down in tears and wept in her arms. It's very moving. But again, a demonstration of the gratitude of a soul manifesting through that young woman. And it gives me, and those of us within the Ashtar Command, the greatest possible joy whenever we see those of Earth cooperating harmoniously with one another to produce something of beauty and self-sacrifice. Yes, that might surprise you to know that those of us within the Ashtar Command are also watching the Olympic Games. For we watch every evidence of cooperative effort on behalf of the collective good. That's what we're interested in. We're not ever going to take sides with anyone. We are for the common good of all of Earth's humanity and all of creation. So we don't have any kind of preferential or differential prejudice against any soul. So you see the excellence of the skills being demonstrated in the Olympics required having the intention to contribute your very best and to give it all that you've got. Your underlying intention is what creates your outcome in every area of your life. So based on the end results, you can gauge the intention with which you begin anything. It's important, I think, to realize that when we speak of intention, we are speaking of the most powerful key to manifestation that you possess. I've heard at least two of the great masters declare that intention is God. Well, I could have tea with that for a while. Intention is God. Now, what that tells me is that intention is the power of God operating through the human vehicle. In a recent seminar, we spoke of soul being a spark of sacrificial fire focused within the fiery will of God. And thus, intention is the power of divine will. When we speak of fire, bear in mind there are three kinds of fire. Most human beings are only aware of the kind that burns. That is fire by friction. There is also solific fire, which is the fire of divine consciousness itself, or soul. And then there is the phohatic fire of divine will itself, or sankalpa, or the divine intention. So it's that power that's operating through the agency of soul awareness, through the mind, and represents the intention of the soul at its own level to operate and appropriate the instrument that we call your human personality, and to bring that personality into harmony with that higher divine will and plan. So intention is the power of divine will, the power of soul to create in harmony with the divine will. In fact, you come to realize as you meditate and become more and more self-realized and self-aware and self-actualized that there's no such thing as God's will and your will. There's only one will, and that is the divine will. And we're either in harmony with that, or we're still out in the boonies operating through the false self or the ego. But since that's a little fictionary episode, we don't have to pay a lot of attention to it. It has its own length of doing what it does, and then after a while it gives up and gets, and you know, because that which is not based on truth only has a temporary appearance. So we each come to discover that our will, purified of ego motives, is the divine will. Now, intention is what gives focus to creative intelligence to produce a specific effect. So let me ask you, what comes to mind when you consider intention? Can you relate to that personally? What have you or have you noticed about your own intention? Do you have a reference point for that? If any of you have ever come close to drowning, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because that intention to live and to survive takes over. Those of you who have, that intention to give birth really overcomes a woman at the moment she's pushing that baby into this world. Those are physical reference points for that power of intention. Not very good ones, but they're ones I think that many of us can relate to. Now, have you noticed the connection between having a clear, unambiguous intention and a clear manifestation? Have you made that connection yourself yet? Have you noticed how having mixed motives and an unclear intention has backfired? And how have you noticed it backfiring? For example, have you noticed how if you're confused at the onset of, you know, undertaking any particular endeavor, how that tends to produce even more confusion as the end result? It's important to draw a very clear line between what you have as an intention, what you would intend to have manifest, and what in fact does manifest. Important to see that connection, that intention always produces manifestation that is exactly alike the original intention. So what have you learned about wielding the power of intention? Or have you ever thought of wielding the power of intention? If you're a higher level initiate, your entire progression is all about wielding the conscious power of intention. That is the initiate life. And that extends right into mastery, because a master wields perfectly, or at least attempts to wield perfectly at all times, divine will and intention to produce a perfect congruency with the divine directive as intuited. Now, I have chosen my words very carefully there, because the divine will is always intuited. There is no great voice in the sky that tells you ever what to do. There is the intuiting of the divine plan that is intuited only within your own purified consciousness, your own levels of awareness. And initiation is when you begin to transcend the limitations of your former level and move into greater light and greater expansion of consciousness, and therefore wield a greater power of intention. And that's a case where you can't fake it until you make it. These higher levels and energies are absolutely protected from anyone who is not prepared to enter those realms or even tap into those higher powers. That's why it's important to start with our own life and becoming very impeccable and wielding intention as to what we vivify and set in motion in our own personal sphere. Now, have you personally experienced the power of clear intention? And if you were required to do so, could you write an essay on intention or give a talk about it? Do you know that it is absolutely impossible to either write or give a talk on something that you have not fully grasped yourself in consciousness? Yeah, you really, really can't. Even if you're a good writer and a good speaker, the spiritual life must be communicated from direct experience. Or you have someone that's like a parrot that is simply repeating something that has been learned by rote but has never taken root in the consciousness itself. That would make a theologian, perhaps, but never an illumined initiate. So, if I may ask you, how and in what way has intention manifested in your life? The power of intention, how has it manifested in your life? And, you know, based on your life today and where you find yourself, what have you manifested that clearly reveals your initial intention? What's going on in your life? You know, the Course in Miracles is very clear in stating that everything we have, everything that happens to us, whether we're awake or dreaming or in meditation or whatever happens on any level, we have it in our life because we have asked for it. Now, granted, the part that asks sometimes is the wound itself. Sometimes it's the sabotaging levels of the consciousness. Sometimes it's a karmic knot that has created so many blocks around the consciousness that you keep manifesting those same blocking dynamics. That's why it's important to give your life over to the hands of Christ and the Holy Spirit, because only coming into partnership with the divine and coming under that grace which covers and reinstitutes and reinitiates you into clarity and truth, it's only in that way that you're going to ever get clear. You really can't fix yourself because you can't see who you truly are for all the blocks and the false projections that you've placed upon your consciousness for many, many lifetimes. Only God, only the Christ, only the Holy Spirit within your mind, within your heart, within your conscience really knows what you need and who you are and how to release you into greater illumination and freedom. So what have you manifested that clearly reveals your initial intention? What is your overall soul's intention for this lifetime? What was your original intention in coming here in this incarnation? And, you know, what is your high self's intention for you, for your discovery and learning in this lifetime? You know, everything in our life is a lesson that God would have us learn. And all voices but echo the voice for God. Those are quotes from the Course in Miracles. So again, we have in our life exactly what we have created, allowed, promoted, requested on some level, whether conscious or unconscious or subconscious, or completely at another level that we don't even remember. Everything is where it is in our life because it's meant to be for something that we wanted to study more closely. Okay, you initiates, you pledged disciples, let me ask you a few questions. What is the intention of the spiritual team that you are a working member of? Remember, we all have an upline. We all have a master and a lineage, a spiritual teaching that is our home lineage. We all have affiliation with groups of souls upon the inner planes that we work with when we leave our body at night, during the periods of meditation, and when you really get that bilocation thing down, while you're going about your daily work, you can be aware of yourself working as a soul at those higher levels, even while the physical doodad down here goes about doing whatever it does. So how much of that are you aware of? What portion of the divine plan is being worked out through your personal, well, your soul group? I won't say personal because it's a very impersonal level we're speaking about. But you do have a involvement with it that affects your personality in time and space. That means your enchilada down here on the earth. So what is your intention with regard to your team and other team players? And are you aware of your place and function in the team? You know, I was always wondering why I'm part of the most wonderful, wonderful group of light workers in the movement of spiritual inner awareness. And I was one of the early, early pioneers in helping the many organizations that now are flourishing as Santa Monica University, the Theological Seminary and College of Philosophy, and many of the other insight trainings, many of the other offshoots that have developed through the years. I was part of when those were initially brought into some semblance of formation on the physical plane. And then it's like I've spent most of my life traveling, speaking, and working away from my physical team members. And I wondered why that was so. It's like, gosh, I would like to be part of, you know, the things that are happening now and the wonderful things that are being done through our universities and college and theological seminary and, gosh, all the great things that are going on. And so I was shown that my particular function, and by the way, the same thing with the Sai Baba group, same thing. I was part of that vocal voice and presence that introduced Sai Baba to many of the esoteric groups, the Alice Bailey groups, the Theosophical groups, the Agni Yoga groups that I was connected with in the early 70s. I introduced Sai Baba's presence to them and was a bhajan leader for a number of years, but then I didn't get to be part of the Sai organization, you know, and it started to really move out into the world. And I thought, shoot, I would have loved to have been part of that. So finally, when I took the time and had the wit to look, and you do have to look, or you're not going to see anything if you don't choose to look. Where do you look? You look inside yourself. You search your awareness and make room for revelation to drop into your awareness. It just, you know, it appears in your mind. And based on results, I realize that my function and place within the group is one of catalyst and activation. That I spark and activate and catalyze, but I'm not one of the grunt team or the support that comes in to build the structure. Mine is not about the structure. It's about the impartation of the fire of a specific energetic and momentum, which then reaches, hopefully, people at the level of soul and then is gradually integrated. That's what my function and place within the Lightworker team is. So, let me ask you again. What are you aware of is your particular function that you are fulfilling with your teammates? I'll give you a clue. Are you the person that's shuffling paper faithfully year after year, setting up agendas and venues and making the phone calls and securing the locations for your teacher or your group? Are you in the back room doing the printing and the publishing and the collating and the sending out of information? Are you one of those faithful people that has lived in one location for year after year after year and been a major contributor and support person in terms of volunteering your service? Your service to your group? Or are you a person that's been very successful in your field and you have acquired the financial abundance to be able to fund the publishing of materials, the buying of property, the construction of buildings, the implementation of the various programs that need a constant supply of money to keep afloat in this world? See what I'm talking about? I'm talking about very practical, physical demonstration of how you are implementing the divine plan in your life. And where you find yourself right now with relationship to the light work, look around and see your team players. They're in your life. Or are you a person like myself that has been given the task of traveling all over the world and speaking to people that may not have, this was way before the advent of internet and the computer when I was traveling, are you one of those people that are like the front men that go forth and speak on behalf of a particular idea or teaching to make it available for people who don't have access to that? Do you anchor and decode and activate through your voice as I do, through your presence as I do? Even my storage is strategically placed because it anchors light in an area in which I'm not living and probably never will live. Isn't that interesting? I asked, why is it I've got stuff here and stuff there and stuff, and probably will never pick it up? Why is that? And they said, it's anchoring energy. Go figure. But we are energy units, and the things that we have in our possession carry the imprint of our energy. And if you carry a powerful field of light, that's going to anchor your presence in areas that may really need it. Don't think your life is lived at random. When you travel, the very air flight trajectory that you're flying over sends living fire of your presence, your consciousness, your soul force, your imprint of intention right down into the grid field and into the earth itself and into the atmosphere. The very words you speak go out like living missiles of fire to ignite every consciousness that comes into resonant harmonic with that particular thought. In fact, a generation of beautiful thought forms in harmony with God's mind and will and heart and love is one of our major functions as a light worker, as a light bearer. So what do you intend to implement and fulfill in your earth sojourn and your mission assignment? What are you doing? Look at your life. That's what you're doing. Look at your results. That was your intention. Based on results, what can you say regarding your intention? We're talking about high levels of response ability that come in with greater awareness. Don't think you're going to acquire any kind of spiritual development for yourself. It's not about yourself. It's about the collective good of all the souls, which form one big oversoul. So operating from soul awareness through the mind reveals the soul's intention and is the soul's intention. Because until the soul has access to your mind, which means that your life must really be yielded to the guidance of the Divine Spirit, it really needs to be laid down and yielded. As long as you're working your own preference, your own ideas, your own agendas, your own wish and will, willy-nilly, you're of no use to the soul. The soul just kind of pulls the plug on you after a while and begins to age the body, and that's it. So if you want to keep young and vital, you need to really allow the soul to use your body, because that's what gives light, vitality, luminosity, and health, and energy. If you're not being used, at some point, they're going to get that vehicle out of the way to make room for somebody else to incarnate that's going to use the space. Not to be rude here, but you got to call a thing the way it is at some point. So intention is the power of divine will, the power of soul to create in harmony with the divine plan. And the divine will. So intention is what gives form through the focus to intelligence to produce a specific effect. Or another way to put it, intention is what gives focus to creative intelligence to produce a specific effect. And again, intention at the onset of any action upon any level determines the end result. The initial intention and the end result always match in quality and degree. intention conditions the energy of the manifestation. That's why a master is extremely discerning in what he or she gives focus, energy, and attention to. Because the closer you get to God, the more instantaneous the manifestation of intention becomes, until you're like the great Sai Baba, when just the very movement of love through his consciousness in response to another person's desire manifests whatever that person wanted. It's instant. I've watched him for years. And, he says it's his nature. It's not siddhi powers or yogic powers. It's a manifestation of his nature, which is to share and bestow love and to make you happy and to give you what you want until you come to want what he's come to give, which is to set you free, to be the same as he is in full glory. The divine intention in creating mankind is to create many vehicles through which to express divine will, love, wisdom, and creative intelligence. That's why God created mankind. And that is why mankind is destined to unfold as a cosmic beauty. We can't fail in this because the intention of God will and has to be and is already manifested, which is why we can say the blessings already are. So man is a perfect manifestation of the divine intention to replicate itself into the many. And again, when we speak of intention, bear in mind we're speaking of divine will as it flows from the monad or I am presence into the prepared and purified mind. How do you prepare and purify your mind? The greatest way to purify the mind is through the constant repetition of the names of the Lord. The vibration of the divine name of God that most thrills and inspires faith and devotion consumes all of the negative conditioning of karmic overlay that the mind has, the emotions have, the nervous system has assumed. All of the blocks of consciousness are precipitated into the nervous system. It affects the health. It affects the ability of the mind to function. It causes those emotional blocks and patterns. And the easiest way to dissolve them is through the loving of God. The more you love God, the more you think of God, the more you talk about God, the more you repeat God's name with devotion, the more you sing the sacred hymns and bhajans and chants of the Lord, the more the fire and the vibration of that name goes into your mind, it goes into the water. You've seen Dr. Emoto's pictures of the water, how it becomes structured with beautiful words and beautiful thoughts. Well, consider your whole body is like 90% water. The more you repeat the vibration of the holy name of God with love and devotion, the more the structure of the water in your cells becomes beautiful, becomes divinely geometric in its configuration. In fact, it takes on the six-pointed metatronic tree of life configuration. It's glorious. It takes the six-pointed star, which represents human perfection, takes on that geometric pattern. So that's the easiest way to purify your heart and mind is through loving devotion and the repetition of the name of God. You can do that until it becomes a habit and the mantra begins to chant. You pick some name of God that you love and repeat it on a rosary. You can use a Christian rosary, a Muslim rosary, a Buddhist rosary, a Hindu rosary, doesn't matter. You can use that to remind yourself that you're actually doing something. Otherwise, your mind can drift off and get distracted. But if you would replace worry and stupid thinking, when you don't have to think about whatever it is you're thinking, if you'd replace that with simply repeating the name of the Lord silently in your mind, you would be amazed at how that tames the monkey mind and brings it to stillness. I know I did it. I had the monkey of monkey minds. And through constant repetition of the name of God, it was rendered to silence. So, that's how you purify your mind and your heart. And you purify your life and your karmas by doing everything in your power to serve people and to be a blessing. You bless people with your presence, your words, your speech, your attitude, your smile, your good humor, your good naturedness, your patience, your temperance, your tolerance. You're remaining silent when people are in your face and acting ugly. So even as the lower mind is used as a servitor to promote selfish interests and ego agendas, so the higher mind, through intention, is used to manifest unification and harmony. The purpose behind the whole universe is to reveal the essential oneness of all life. And that is the overall intention of every member of the spiritual hierarchy. To reveal essential oneness and divinity is the very intention of the soul itself. And this is how the mind is correctly utilized to implement cooperation, coordination, and unification. And the disciple firmly declares, "The sons of men are one, and I am one with them." So all of the meditations, mantras, and spiritual disciplines one undertakes is for the purpose of creating a mind that responds only to the divine. A mind that no longer gives expression to any harmful thought, word, or deed. And that is the nonviolence, the ahimsa, that every disciple is being trained to practice very diligently. Your intention always manifests the end result of whatever energy you've expressed. And that is why it's not possible to produce a positive outcome from a poisonous intention. For example, any form of dishonesty, deceit, crookedness, lying, evil, forfeits divine empowerment. You literally short-circuit your entire instrument when you lie. That's why the lie detector works. That's why in muscle testing, when you utter a statement that you don't fully back with your consciousness, you go weak all over. That's why Dharma is its own support or righteousness. Now, the minions and servitors of darkness, the elemental spirits that are still functioning in the subhuman levels, the asuras, the rakshasas and rakshasis, the demons, they only have a limited power for a limited time. And the end result will ultimately drain and destroy them because they're not vivified by divine energy. You know, they destroy themselves. And that's why good always triumphs over evil. And that's why we are told in the scriptures to stand firm and witness the saving hand of the Lord. God always wins because the divine intention is truth itself. So truth supports truth. That's why we need to search our motives very carefully before we start any endeavor. What is the purpose? Why are you thinking of doing this? Who or what is being served? Now, if anyone must lose or suffer in order for your objective to be attained, then know that the ego is running the show, and you are going to have karma to pay. Unless everyone benefits, it is not a divinely sponsored intention. Our discipline is to be very, very clear in our mind and heart as to what the outcome is that we wish to achieve. What do you want to achieve? What do you really want to fuel and foster in yourself, in the world, in your future? You alone are the one that decides that. So this self-discipline begins in the little areas of life. Like, for example, the emails and the comments you post in the social media and your tweets. And your phone and text messages, your I am interchanges, your dinner conversations. What kind of energy are you expressing consistently on the internet each day? Do you ever ask God for guidance before you write an email? Do you search to see if there's only love conveyed and there's no energy on what you're sharing? Do you do like many egos and post critical, ugly, demeaning, condemning messages when you post your comments? I'm amazed at how ugly people can be when they don't have a real name or a real identity, and therefore assume no real responsibility in what they're putting out there. What you put on Facebook, you are communicating to the entire world. Every picture, every sentiment, even the energies. You know, we're getting so we can pretty well read people by what they consistently share. So be aware, take responsibility for what your intention is, and even interacting on social networks and internets and emails. Your reputation goes before you and is ineradicable, according to the masters. Your energy will draw to you exactly what you put out there, and you're the sole purpose person who has any control over that. So what is your intention for expressing that particular energy and attitude? And who is benefiting? And what is being promoted in the world? Is your intention one with God? Now, contrary to what the ego would have you believe, peace does not come from promoting more war and pointing out more enemies to hate and fear. Peace comes when we prioritize and value peace more than we do conflict. The ego, however, thrives on conflict and cannot tolerate peace. So ask yourself, how can I expect to have a life of joy and peace unless loving goodwill is my intention towards all beings? See how sometimes our behavior and the intent of our heart and the true intention of ourself as a soul are in conflict? Is a person able to experience peace who's in a war within their own level and doesn't know their own mind and is dubious about their own intention? So how can a world that works together for the highest good and well-being of everyone arise if our intention and the perspective that we're sharing is perpetrating hatred and prejudice? How can this new earth that we aspire to move into, to ascend into, how can it arise out of a intent towards hatred and differentiation, prejudice, and perpetrating that? You see the oxymoron here? So we cannot control the choices of others, but we can certainly be a powerful influence for good. And the goodwill we exemplify by our example and our positive intention is noticeable and influential. And when the entire intention of your life becomes one of loving goodwill to all, with no ill will remaining in your expression, the entirety of creation will protect, cherish, and provide for you. Although, you know, by then, your prayers will no longer be for yourself. Everything that you need, even the smallest material desire, will be instantly fulfilled. Your whole life will be lived for others, laid down as a sacrifice for the benefit of others. And when your whole life is lived from the intention of loving service, the needs of your personal life don't even need to be considered. You will be supplied and covered by grace in this world and in the worlds beyond this dimension. The very first step is to begin immediately paying attention to your motives and what you intend to see happen in whatever you are considering doing. So before you launch into your day, it's wise to begin at the onset to set your intention for that day. Set it to be of loving service to everyone you encounter. Offer your hands, your thoughts, your words, your actions, your whole being to the Christ to use to bless the world in miracles, to use in serving the highest good of all. You might be wise in selecting some means of reminding yourself and realigning with that intention throughout the day. And after a while, you'll notice that you are paying more attention to the energy that you are releasing through your expression and into the world. And you'll also notice that you have moved into the new earth and you have become the kingdom of God. Let's go out chatting. Yeah, I hear. Deep breath. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord. And God willing, I'll be with you this